Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and reflect on the family. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Take a trip to Paradise Island without leaving Corpus Christi. Saturday, February 27th, Incarnate Word Academy will host their annual fundraising gala at the American Bank Center. Proceeds will help provide funding for critical tuition assistance, enriched academic and athletic programs, and facility and technology enhancements. Events begin at 6 p.m. with the silent auction, then dinner, a spirit auction, a children's art auction, an elite big board auction, and a live auction, and of course, great music. To help sponsor this event or donate auction items, purchase tickets, or get more information, call Amy at 883-8229 or visit iwacc.org/gala. Incarnate Word Academy, celebrating 145 years of educational excellence.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. I hope you had a nice Christmas.
I certainly did. I did a little bit of traveling up north, and so it was nice Christmas weather. How was yours?
A little bit of traveling up north, not probably not as far as you went. I went to Dallas, so to visit my brothers.
No, I was in Michigan.
Oh, okay. Well, through Austin to Dallas and back, and you went to Michigan.
Well, yeah. Family time.
Yes.
And how appropriate that our gospel this morning is about the Holy Family.
Yes, right, exactly.
So our gospel is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astounded, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, at the heart of this gospel, it's an ordinary story about a family road trip.
I guess we've all talked about it that way. I've never heard it put that way, but that certainly is and flashing through my mind were a few family road trips we had.
I'm not sure there was
as organized or as peaceful or as dramatic as this one.
Right. And of course,
we've all been on them.
My family did it too. But as I was reading, it said, you know, the journey that the Holy Family took was a pilgrimage that the faithful Jewish families took to Jerusalem for the Passover.
Yes, right. So it had a purpose. I mean, it's obviously not just a vacation.
It was a weekend trip.
It certainly had a purpose, which at the center of their life, of course, was their faith and the normal practices of their faith at that time. And they were on this journey to Jerusalem, and Jesus stayed behind. But it's certainly this particular Sunday, after the first Sunday after Christmas every year, gives us an opportunity to acknowledge the fact that God chose to send his son into the world, which is the basic truth, through a virgin, Mary, which we celebrate throughout the year as well, especially with the Immaculate Conception and then the Annunciation, but also into a family, that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And even though we believe that they remained as a chaste couple, right, not having relations, but they certainly are the model family of what it means to be a family. And so we always have to pay attention to this Sunday in a very particular way, and especially today, as the family is so threatened, and with the family, all of us. I mean, I think mm-hmm. this is something we have to recognize, that the nature of family life needs to be re-looked at in our society today. It's one of the, I would say, projects of the new evangelization of the, and certainly then for the Year of Faith as well. But I read something a few weeks ago. You know, the Pope gives Wednesday audiences. He speaks all the time.
Right.
And in those, certainly brings out core values and core teachings for our faith. But one of the things he said, I believe it was during the Synod on the new evangelization, is that the crises of the family is at the very heart of the crises of the world.
Wow.
And, you know, we can all, I think, hopefully, we can all sense that to be true. But I think we have to embrace the fact that it is true.
Right.
And on this Feast of the Holy Family, I would ask us to do that, not just to take it as kind of a casual saying or a casual thought, but how true it is that the crises of the family, in other words, the breakdown of the family in all of its dimensions, and that's economic, mm-hmm. It is socially with the high rate of divorce, the high rate of teen pregnancies outside of the marital covenant, the call for same-sex marriage, the lack of education, the immigration where people are separated, and it goes on and on. If you really look at what is happening in the world, it all is affecting the family, whether people are separated because of poverty, of needing for work, so one goes, one has to leave the family and go somewhere else to seek work and
right.
to earn a living. Whether people are trying to allow government to define marriage, and there's something in our catechism I'd like to present that is interesting, the way we present it. Whether it's a lack of education and the inability to get work, whether it's the inability or the lack of a know-how to relate to one another, social skills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It all impacts and really is devastating to the family today. You know, tax laws, so many things affect the family. And it's something that we need to look at, especially when we're looking at life issues. Because we can focus on the life in the womb, which we must. It's essential. I mean, it's
right.
it's the first. But the crisis even there is rooted in the crisis of the family. So we
right.
can't exclude one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a all-encompassing issue. But I truly believe, as the Pope related a few months ago, that the crisis of the family is the crisis really that we're experiencing throughout the world.
Well, and it is a beautiful time to bring this up right now, because as we're starting a new year, it's something for us to really focus on for the new year. You know, if
right.
you're part of a family and things are not working out right, what do you need to do to rebuild
right.
your family?
Sure. And I think that's true. As we look at some of these things from the catechism, that's really what I'd like to do, is look at some of the points that are made in our catechism and refer each of our listeners to that. It's actually under part 3 of the catechism, under the fourth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. that your days may be long in the land in which the Lord gave, the Lord your God gives you. This is the fourth commandment of the Decalogue. But if you're in a family or in a situation right now where the family is suffering, certainly this is what I'm presenting is certainly not to criticize in any way, but it's a call for all of us to reexamine our own attitudes and what we can do with what we have. I mean, what our situation is, to recompose the family and to relook at what we can all do for the betterment of society and the betterment of children and the elderly, too. That's another issue, I think. When you look at the crises, it's the crises of age.
The end-of-life issues.
The end-of-life issues where the family being weak and disintegrating lacks even a respect for the elderly.
Well, and as we know that, you know, anytime that there's a family or you're an individual, life is not going to go according to what you think it should be according for. There are going to be challenges. And when the more people you have together to work through those challenges and to be support for you, it's better.
Sure. And that's what I – and as we look at this, this is really the objective. We always have to be objective and look at the objective truth of, for example, the family and not the subjective reality of each person's life. That's there. And we all have to ameliorate those the best we can. Mm-hmm. But that cannot deny, or we can't define what is objectively true by what is subjectively being lived in one person or several people's experience. So what I want to look at here on in a few of these articles is, what is marriage? And just to begin, in this chapter on of marriage, it speaks of the nature of the family. And this is really being threatened. What is the nature of the family? And Article 2201 says that the conjugal community is established upon the consent of the spouses. Marriage and the family are ordered to the good of the spouses and to the procreation and education of children. So it has a dual purpose. Marriage is, first of all, for the good of the couple, the spouses, in a conjugal relationship. It is to build each other up in an expression, the intimate expression of love, which is exclusive to the man and the woman. And that's a covenant relationship. We don't speak of a contract. We speak of a covenant relationship. It has that and the procreation of children. Many years ago, we spoke about, you know, marriage was for children, but it lacked that that understanding that it is also for the good of the couple to build up the relationship of love. And then goes on, the love of the spouses and the begetting of children create among members of the same family personal relationships and primordial responsibilities. I think that thing of personal relationship is so important, because that's what's lacking in our society. This is when the family breaks down, human relationships break down. I don't know how to relate to people because I've not learned that in that primordial relationship and responsibility that I find in my family. We learn to correct each other. We learn to respect each other. We learn to speak to one through our families.
And to challenge one another.
And to challenge. But if I don't have that, then a person can't do that. And then just one other, before the break, one other article. A man and a woman united in marriage, together with their children, form a family. A man and a woman, together with the children, form a family. This institution is prior to any recognition by public authority, which has an obligation to recognize it. It should be considered the normal reference point by which the different forms of family relationships are to be evaluated.
Well, this is a lot for us to talk about. So we are going to take a break. We are going to take a short break, and then we will continue our conversation on the family. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
You are invited to join thousands of Texans at the annual Texas Rally for Life, Saturday, January 23rd at the Capitol in Austin, commemorating the 43rd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which made abortion legal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. Some 60 million children in America have not been born because of abortion. Events will begin with Mass at 10:30 a.m. at St. Vincent de Paul Parish, 9500 Nina Avenue. The march will follow immediately through the streets of Austin to the state capitol for an inspiring rally. Register for the chartered bus trip by December 11th and receive a free rally t-shirt. For complete information, including registration, contact Nellie Serna in the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. 693-6634.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, you read for us in the Catechism a very, what I call a heavy passage that we really need to discuss. And for our listeners, it's 2202 on page 532, right. If they want to look at it and read all of this about family.
It is, and it's a challenging one because it involves civil law, and what we're experiencing today. But I think it's important that we go back and, again, listen to the objective truth of this, that speaking of the family as a man, a woman, together with the children. And then it says this institution, this family, is prior to any recognition by public authority. So the family exists by God's plan, by natural law. I mean, it's written in our hearts that that we want to be and that we come from a family. So this is something that precedes any civil order. But it also says, but the civil order, the public authority, has the obligation to recognize it. You know, the obligation to recognize it, institution. Let's back up, man, woman, children. This is what a family is. It should be considered the normal reference point by which the different forms of family relationships are to be evaluated. So we start with mother and father and children, and then we have grandparents, we have cousins, we have aunts and uncles. But none of that substitutes the original family that we're all a part of, that we all come from by nature, by who we are. And so the role of civil authority is to protect it, to recognize it and to protect it, not to redefine it. That's not their role. Mm-hmm. And we see this way too often in what we're experiencing in life today, not only in our country but throughout the world, of the government redefining things that are institutions given by God that are natural law, God's law, and trying to redefine it, even in terms of life. What is life? Life, you know, begins when a person's born. No, life begins in the womb. It's not up to the government to make those decisions and to define those things, nor is it their right to define what marriage is, nor to define when life has no more value or when life should be ended, etc. This is God's realm. This is God's creation. But the more we eliminate God, even from the family, the more we're in trouble, and we relegate all the things that are written in our hearts as human beings to a government which can come and go. You know, liberals, they're in and out, and laws change according to that. That's not the way. That doesn't speak to the dignity of the human person. It doesn't speak to the dignity of the family, that every time there's a new mentality sitting in civil government, the things change. Who we are.
Well, and it doesn't have the moral compass.
Exactly.
That this
no moral
does.
Compass. Very good. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what this paragraph is speaking to us. This is the normal reference point that the family is the mother, the father, the children, and all other relationships are referenced from that core family, which is the mother and the father and the children. And the role of civil government is to protect and to recognize that this is our God-given right to be and live in a family. And this is where government should assist in education, in the elimination of poverty, in the elimination of injustice, of helping families that are alienated because of immigration or whatever, and on and on and on and on and on. That's their role, is to order society for the good of the human person, the good of the family.
In keeping them together.
Right, exactly. To assist us to keep people together, to keep families together, not to break them apart simply because of the lack of understanding, the misunderstanding of human life. Just to point out some other things that are written, and then I want to kind of conclude our segment with something from Benedict XVI, who speaks of the family very beautifully. But in the Catechism, as it goes on, it speaks of the family as the domestic church, not to substitute the universal church, because
right.
we are part of that as well. But it is a domestic church where there is this communion of persons. If we identify and define the church as a communion of persons with the commandment to love one another, then the family is at the heart of that. Given that commandment, mother, father, husband, wife, children, to love one another, to defer to one another, they are then the domestic church. It also refers to the family as the original cell of social life. Again, if a family is not healthy in those relationships, then it has tremendous implications on society, because I'm socialized, you were socialized.
Right.
In our families. I mean,
right.
that's where we learned to be who we are, not sent out on the streets to learn mm-hmm. from others, or sent to school and, you know, at the whim of all things that were coming in and coming out. That's not where I learned my values and my morals and my ability to relate socially. I learned in the family.
Exactly.
I was corrected, et cetera, there.
Usually sitting around the dinner table.
Exactly. Many, many stories there.
Yes.
It also, continuing on in this particular article on the family, it said it illuminates other relationships in society. We see that. I the other day was passing through the airport. You know, there were a couple of young families, you know, in the airport. And just, I don't know, to me, it's like a meditation, just watching mm-hmm. the interaction of the children with each other, with their parents, the interaction of husband and wife, you know, like it's your turn to go run after
right.
her down the walkway there, and it's your turn. And,
because I've got this one.
Right, and I'll grab this one, you grab this one. I mean, we should see the joy of family life and really meditate, contemplate, because it illumines our relationships, and not in myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not being married, it was even on the plane, there was a couple sitting in front of me, and at the end, I don't know if they're listening, but anyway, she turned to me and she said, "Wow, I don't know how we did." And I said, "I thought you were very, very good. You did an excellent job." She said, "Well, I didn't think so." But, you know, you look at that and not being married, not having children, you realize that there is a certain expertise
yes.
that they have in dealing with each other that I may have dealing like with priests or others, but I can learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the patience that you see
mm-hmm.
In a couple, the consistency in correction or whatever, you learn values from the family. And so it illuminates other relationships in society. And the other thing we have to always remember, that the family is, that the human communities are made up of persons. These are people.
Right.
And each person is unique. Each person is different. I mean, I'm sure every mother and father, every brother and sister can look at their brothers and sisters and see them grow and change, but realize that each one is unique, but each one is a human person.
Mm-hmm.
So the family is a rich wellspring of social life and social education, really, for all of us. And so on this family, this feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we certainly need to be conscious and aware, and all of us rededicate ourselves to the health of promoting the family as it was meant by God, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, and children, and preserving that. We have a long road to go mm-hmm. because the disintegration has really reached mm-hmm. Epic proportions, I would say. But our laws for education, for poverty, against poverty, against trafficking, against drugs, violence, et cetera, all those really serve the family, which the family then serves society. The heart of the family, the heart of society is the family. The disintegration of the family is the disintegration of a society.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we should not forget on this very special and holy day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And now, in the Magnificat, Bishop, beautiful words that started off this Sunday, you know.
Right. And I think it would be good. It's kind of we probably have just enough time to almost read it as a meditation as we mm-hmm. conclude after all we've spoken about. He says, "The family is the privileged setting where every person learns to give and receive love. The family is an intermediate institution between individuals and society, and nothing can completely take its place. The family is a necessary good for peoples, an indispensable foundation for society, and a great and lifelong treasure for couples. It is a unique good for children, who are meant to be the fruit of the love, of the total and generous self-giving of their parents. The family is also a school which enables men and women to grow to the full measure of their humanity. O God, who in the Holy Family left us a perfect model of family life lived in faith and obedience to your will, help us to be examples of faith and love for your commandments." Written by Benedict XVI.
Isn't that beautiful? And the line that, I mean, it's all beautiful, but there's a line in there that says, "The family is also a school which enables right. men and women to grow to the full measure of their humanity." And I see that it's learning from one another. You know, if things go awry or there's some difficulty, you don't just walk out. You learn and you grow.
Well,
and you work through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at, what did we learn in school? We learned that there's a schedule. I mean, you know, there's homework to be done. There's remedial time. There's aha moments, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of that, it really is. The family is a place, so it really is, to gather the family together, and especially I would encourage us to gather around a meal every day,
yes.
and at least once a week, if not every day, because that is a true place. That's like the school table.
It is.
And
it's a place for serious conversations and for a lot of laughter.
And a lot of sharing.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of the problems is we don't share with each other. Mm-hmm. Because that's where we learn who we are.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bishop.
So God bless all of our families. And those of you who may be hurting for the lack of that family, we pray for you today as well.
Yes. Well, if you could close our session with a prayer and a blessing, please.
O God, who are pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life in the bonds of charity. And so, in the joy of your house, delight one day in eternal rewards. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a happy new year.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.